Before we start this evening's Score programme, the GAA family in Donegal has been deeply saddened this week with the great loss that has hit the Devenny family. Brendan Devenny is part of the team here at Highland, one of our GAA correspondents and presenter of the DL debate. Yesterday, Brendan's father Patrick died after an illness, and earlier today, Brendan's sister Margaret suddenly passed away. For myself and everyone at Highland, we send our deepest condolences to Brendan, his mum Imelda, and the Devenny family on the loss of their husband, father, daughter, mother and sister. We also send our sincere sympathies to the Sullivan family. May the gentle souls of Patrick and Margaret rest in peace together.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
On the Score tonight, we'll be talking Tyrone Championship action with commentator from the Red Hand County, Paddy Hunter. We'll also be speaking with the ARU manager, John McNulty, who will look at the Donegal Senior Football Championship. And in our local soccer segment, we talk with Gary Foy of the Donegal Junior League. But first up, in boxing, Conor Coyle has signed a deal for the biggest fight of his career to date and will fight at the O2 Arena in London next month. The Florida-based Derry middleweight, who is ranked 9th in the WBA World Rankings and has a polished 17-0 record, will box Felix Cash on the Chris Eubank Jr. Conor Benn card on Saturday the 8th of October in the English capital. Conor sees the next assignment as a stepping stone to working his way to a world title. Speaking from his American base, I spoke with Conor earlier today after the news broke about his next big bout. We're speaking on a day here, Conor, where there's been fantastic news released. You're heading to the O2 in London. You're heading to what will be your biggest fight of your career to date against Felix Cash. Tell us about how this fight come about.
We had a few different offers coming from Matchroom. This one came to us a few weeks ago, but we already had two fights lined up here in America. So we didn't know what we were going to do, but it was an opportunity for us to take, so we accepted the fight. And I had a fight on Saturday night, which I had to get out of the way first. So, I came out of that fight unscathed, and I'm ready for action again on October 8th against Cash.
Just back to that fight at the weekend before we talk more about Cash. It was a relatively easy night for you on Saturday, wasn't it?
Yeah, I just did what I did best. I just went out and established a jab right away. The guy was a little Mexican, you know, and he's tough. And his game is 68 fight experience. So I just stuck to my game plan and just outboxed him. I didn't want to get into a brawl because I knew what was around the corner, you know, this next fight. So I just went out and boxed him at ease.
Is that a difficult thing to do when you know you have such a big fight down the line that you can't let your mind run away with that you have to stay focused at the task at hand?
Yeah, well, that night it was a crafty fighter, you know, so he was coming in with his head and stuff, and he was trying to hurt me with his head and stuff. So I wanted to keep him at range. I didn't want to take any risks of getting unnecessary cuts or getting into a brawl and injuring my hands or anything leading up to a bigger fight. So, I just had to be careful at that end of it.
For people who don't know boxing, give us an idea of your opponent, Felix Cash.
Felix Cash be ranked number 2 in the UK and number 5 in the world. He's a pressure boxer fighter. You know, he would come forward. He's a good boxer. You know, he's good skills, good jab. But I think, obviously, I wouldn't accept the fight if I didn't think I could beat him. So I think I have enough skill set. They do the business on October 8th.
Very, very exciting time then for you, Conor.
Yeah, exciting, definitely, because the main reason, especially, is getting the fight closer to home instead of the stateside fights, you know. So it gives me an opportunity to build a fan base in Ireland and UK, you know, much closer to home. So I'm excited and I'm grateful for that opportunity.
Yeah, and I suppose the fact as well, somewhere like the O2 Arena in London's not a bad venue to box at.
No, it's a nice venue as well. You know, can't complain about the venue. Yeah. Plus, it's on a such a huge platform, you know, that Chris Eubank Jr. and Connor Benn, you know, they're rivals. So it's on a great platform as well. They get my name out there.
Yeah. That's probably be the biggest stage that you've fought on, Connor. Would that be fair enough to say?
Oh, yes, without a doubt. This was definitely the biggest stage to date.
Yeah, and it'll be the toughest opponent as well.
Toughest opponents as well, yeah.
Yeah.
But they'll just keep getting tougher after this. After I beat Cass, they'll just keep getting tougher.
Yeah.
But that's what we need to do to become world champion.
That is the goal at the end of the end of the line is to be a world champion. So if we were to take it now that the Cash fight is done and you've beaten Cash, what would be in line for Conor Coyle after this one?
Well, the winner of this year could possibly walk into a world title fight, possibly even in the next fight or even two. But the winner of this could walk into a world title at any stage, especially the WBA world title.
Obviously, there'd be a few more things under Matchroom if it was to work out.
Yeah, we'd be all under the Matchroom then, you see.
Since you got into the top 10 in the world rankings, the WBA world rankings, things has very much opened up for you, Connor.
Yeah, as soon as we broke into that top 10 ratings, our phone has been ringing every week for offers and different fights, you know. So the Cash fight was a, you know, we knew fine rightly that was a big fight for us and a good fight and a good opportunity that we couldn't turn down. So we had to accept the fight.
Yeah. You mentioned it earlier in the interview about being closer to home. How close, what would be the closest to home that you would like to fight in, Connor, down the line?
Well, I come from Derry, so if there was ever a possibility of getting a big show in Derry, that would be amazing. Even anywhere, Donegal and Dublin as well, you know, anywhere in Ireland would be great. Belfast would be probably the closest, realistically, in that sense, because Derry, there's something going on in Derry that they're not allowed to hold the professional bouts with the brain scans or something like that. But Belfast would be probably the closest for me.
Yeah. And at that stage of the world champion, it would be a dream come true.
Yeah, a world title fight there would be absolutely amazing.
But just finally then, on the Cash fight, Connor, before we wrap things up, I know it's a very exciting time for you, but what sort of work do you have to put in now over the next number of weeks as you head to October the 8th, and how would the work that you have to put in now in these next couple of weeks compare to what you've done to this date in your career?
Well, I had the fight on Saturday night there past. I just took Sunday off and we hit the ground running again Monday. I had a different hunger, a different motivation, and a different outlook than every other fight that I had, you know, so it just motivated me much more to push harder in every session and push faster in my runs and just push everything in general harder and faster. It's going to be the same on fight night. You know, I'm going to push it in the ring. I'm going to push every round.
And you're in Florida at the minute. So you do your training camp there and then come back as far as London, or how's it going to work over the next few weeks?
Yeah, well, we would have had our two last weeks of training now, and then we'll fly to London on the 1st of October, so we'll have a week in London then they wind down our training and, you know, adapt to the time change and all as well for me, you know, which would not be much of a difference coming back home, but just want to make sure everything's 100% then for that Saturday night.
Yeah. Listen, we look forward to it. We can't wait to see you back in the ring and fighting in the O2 Arena against Felix Cash. I'm sure we'll talk again closer to the time, Connor, but the very best of luck with your preparations for this next big one.
Thank you, Oisin. Appreciate it, buddy. Talk soon.
That's Conor Coyle. An exciting time ahead for the Derry man fighting on that big bill at the O2 Arena in Dublin. To Gaelic Games, as a mark of respect to the Devenny and Sullivan families on the death of Patrick and Margaret, the St Eunan's GA Club have requested a postponement of this weekend's semi-final with Kilcar. The Donegal CCC will confirm the details later this evening. The other semi-final in the Donegal Championship is penciled in for Sunday with Niamh Connell up against Gweedore. Niamh Connell, of course, came through their quarter-final against Glenswilly last Sunday, while Gweedore just about got over the line against Eirua, winning through by a point on Saturday in Fintra in Killybegs. This week, I've been looking ahead to that tie with Eirua manager John McNulty, who almost made the top four with the Ballyshannon men. So, John, just maybe touch on last weekend, the defeat to Gidor. Is it still a sore point with yourself now, what, a handful of days out from the defeat in the quarterfinal?
Yeah, it is, Oisin, to be honest. It probably takes a while to get over a defeat, especially something that's so close, so, and there's only 1 point in it, and you felt that you had the chances throughout the game maybe to get there, at least to get the draw and to get extra time, if not the victory during full time.
I suppose you came very, very close to getting into the semi-finals, John. Is that a target of favour of Ballyshannon now, that you just want to become, is it an ambition to become a top four team in the county?
Well, as I said at the start of the year, you know, you would have the first year up in Division 1 again, and, you know, the target was set to see how we would do in the league, and we would take it from there. But obviously, every club wants to get as far as they can in the championship, and that was our aim this season. And we felt, you know, that we would be able to give it a good rattle and see was it possible to, as you say, break into that top four and into the semi-final. And we got that opportunity on Saturday and playing Gidor, and I felt... Well, we performed well in a lot of ways, but just on the day, I think our shooting let us down. I think we'd maybe 12 wides, and then we had something like maybe 2 to 3 goal chances as well. So you can't miss all that and expect to get to the semi-final.
Yeah, I know it's disappointing losing at the quarter-final stage, but up until that point, you've had a great campaign, Sean.
Yeah, we had a great campaign. I think we lost 2 games in the league, I think, and that was it. Then we... And then obviously the championship game on Saturday. But overall, you know, the lads had a great year, and they put in a big effort, and they worked hard towards what they were trying to achieve. And I think maybe when the dust settles, I'll be very disappointed on Saturday, maybe not to be pulling through to a county semi-final. But, you know, credit to Gidor, they stuck in there as well, and they grinded out that 1 point win, which is a testament to themselves too.
Yeah, is that maybe something that you guys need to learn maybe? And in a certain way that there's very fine margins in matches, and you need to get that experience behind you as to grind out the one in tight games, John.
Yeah, I think the experience probably is it's the second year in senior football, so there probably does come with it some of the younger players as well, and is to get that experience, and really only way you get it is playing in tight games like that. So there's always a thing that there may be that'll stand for them in the future as well. So yeah, Gidor are a well team in that way, and they know how to maybe manage a game and grind it out, and which they did again on Saturday.
But it's not bad building blocks ahead of next year for you, John. But
well, it was, as I said earlier, Rush, you know, overall in the season, you know, you would have taken what you got, you know, because it was a good season. We played some very good football times, and we won a lot of games, and, you know, they had a good season, and they seemed to enjoy the crack as well as anything else, all year training and everything. So overall, it was a good season, Oisin, and I'm sure when the dust settles on it, you know, while this might be hard to take at the minute, you know, they'll look overall and say it was a good season.
Let's move on to Sunday then. Niamh Connell against Gidor, two teams that you know very well. To John and Niamh Connell, Glenn Swilly asked the questions of them last week, and they needed a blast at the start of the second half to get through that tie at the O'Donnell Park. Was it a case of Glenn Swilly had them rattled, or just Niamh Connell were slow out of the blocks, do you feel?
It was probably I felt Glenn Swilly played very well that first half. I think they had a lot of success from Niamh Connell's kickouts. And in the first half, they made a lot of turnovers on them with the kickouts. And they had a total of 11 wides. And again, it was a lot over the course of the game. But Niamh Connell keeper McGrath made a great save in the first minute or two there as well, which really probably kept them in it. And Glenn Swilly, in a way, should have probably been further ahead at half time, but they weren't. And then in the turn of the second half, the first few minutes, I mean, Niamh Connell got on top there and got the goal and really got into the game in the second half. And I felt they played very well that second half, and they really lifted it up a gear or two as well. And you could see that. And really, maybe in the last 5-10 minutes, you knew the game was going to go in one way.
Yeah. Can Gidor do what Glenn Swilly done and then go another bit further and maybe take the victory at the weekend? Do they have the players to do that?
Well, I mean, I think again, you know, it'll probably be a good battle, because you have two teams that are, you know, their similar terms are, you know, physically Gidor very are strong, you know, and they're big men around the middle as well, and they have a lot of good players. So I think myself, when you look at it, I think it'll be a tight enough game. Can they do it? Maybe they are saying, you know, they're missing a few players. You know, they're maybe marquee players. Some of them are away, like if O'Beale, and obviously I think their keeper's gone too, and Eamon Colum, who was in good form, started the championship there, has gone as well to Dubai. And, you know, they've lost several. Was it like Ethan Harkin maybe stepping up there? He stepped up this year in the championship, and Gavin McBride inside, and of course Eamon McGee, who was very good last Saturday, and Neil as well. You know, those boys there will definitely ask you the question. So I'd expect a good battle there as well. And saying that, you know, look at Nate Connell, probably the way they pulled that out. I mean, Ethan O'Donnell, I thought, was fantastic. Glenn Swilly the last day, I thought he really, against Glenn Swilly, I thought he really took the game when it was needed. He really rose to the occasion. He played very, very well. And you have also Jack McKelvey, you see, in the middle of the field as well. You know, very good players along with them Dohertys. You know, they really carry Glenties a lot of, or New Connell a lot of ways. So it's going to be a big battle. And again, I don't think there'll be much in it.
Yeah. These two sides, of course, know each other very well. They've got the huge rivalry where we had the trilogy a couple of seasons ago for the Dr. Maguire. So there's that wee added edge to it as well. So there is, John, when these two sides meet.
There is probably, you're right. I mean, that those three games, remembering that those three games, there were three great games of football, and really exciting. And, you know, there was very, very little to separate them. Now, you know, Gidor have alluded to, they've lost a lot of players as well, you know, over the last, since 2018 or round about that. So there's definitely, but I'd say even if you take Glenn, the Connell squad as well, you know, they're probably, McGettigan is injured, Alton Doherty's injured, and, you know, Kieran Gallagher and Kieran Brennan are not playing either. You know, that's four to their squad that they would have lost out on as well. So it kind of evens it up a bit as well. But I think Gidor probably go in as the underdogs in that game, definitely, because, and maybe that suits them. They have nothing really to lose, and probably, you know, Niamh Connell would be the favourites to win that game.
That's John McNulty looking ahead to that clash on Sunday in Balbuffet between Niamh Connell and Gidor, and we will have full live match commentary from that game here in Highland from the 4 o'clock start time on Sunday. It's also a busy weekend on the junior front as well, with semi-finals in the A Championship on Saturday. Cairn Donagh playing Niamh Alton at the O'Donnell Park, and Letterkenny Gaels take on Narossa at Davy Brennan Memorial Park in Glenties. In the Junior B Football Championship last four at Hibernian Park, it's Letterkenny Gaels against Niamh Padraic Muff. That's in Burt, and Niamh Padraic Lifford are playing Niamh Alton in the other semi-final in the Junior Bs on Saturday. Just back to senior, there's relegation semi-finals on Sunday at Park A Roots, Mulford against Bundoran at 1:30, and then in Killybegs, Ardra will play St Nawes. That starts a wee bit earlier at 1 o'clock. Well, the Tyrone Senior Football Championship first round starts tonight. It's straight knockout from the get-go in the Red Hand County, and they're off to a flyer tonight with a cracking tie involving Trillick and Dungannon at Haley Park in Omagh. Matches to come on Friday, Saturday and Sunday. I've been talking Tyrone Championship with commentator Paddy Hunter. I suppose first up, Paddy, Tyrone are one of the Northwest counties that decided to stick with the format of straight knockout football. We've seen the likes of Donegal and Derry go down the group route before they go to knockout stages. But Tyrone seem to be happy with the straight knockout, and they feel that it makes it more exciting for those watching and those involved.
Absolutely, Ashley. And I think Tyrone actually may be only one of the Ulster counties that remain completely knockout, as far as I'm told. Just talking to Mark Bradley last week, the Killick Laugherman, he said he hopes it remains knockout. And even though they're up against the champions, Dromore, tomorrow night, you know, they are talking that they want it still continued as a knockout. The straight knockout's hard to beat. There's no doubt about that. It's blood and thunder stuff. It's end-to-end stuff. You can have the odd dead rubber, of course, as we've seen over the junior and intermediate championships. But no, when you come to the senior, everybody will feel they're in with a chance, and it gives that certain edge of, you know, inevitability. You either won it or you're gone.
Yeah. Well, listen, some very interesting ties. There is 8 in total. We're at the first round. It's the last 16. 8 sides will progress through to the quarterfinals. A great way to start the competition tonight, Trillick and Dungannon, Paddy.
a repeat of the final from a couple of years ago when Nigel Seeney pointed out, he's the manager at Trullick, he pointed out that any thought of revenge or anything like that would be a very negative approach from Trullick. Bearing in mind, Dungannon came through and won that one vastly exciting final, of course, under the lights of O'Neill Sealy Park, and they meet there again tonight. Dungannon are a good side. They've improved. They've had extra Parig McNulty coming back into the squad again. He's been carrying a long-term injury, but he's played a few reserve games. That said, we all know the quality of Trullick, the Donnellys and everybody involved there as well, you know, and Lee Brennan, well, outstanding this last couple of seasons for them. It's going to be a very tight encounter this evening. Dungannon will certainly fancy their chances, though.
Yeah. Another standout tie, of course, involves the defending champions, the side that always have the big X marked on their back once the new campaign gets up and running. Dermore playing Killy Clougher. That's going to be a tasty one tomorrow evening at Healy Park.
It will indeed. And I think the fact is as well that no Tyrone side has won back-to-back titles since Carrickmore in the early 2000s. Just shows how difficult it is to win the Tyrone Championship. They certainly do go out with a big X in their back. Ray McMenamin is now the man in charge, of course, of Dermore this year. There's a very still familiar backroom team there. They won the Reserve Championship earlier on this year, and a few of those guys now will certainly transcend into that Dermore side. Killy Clougher, of course, we know what they have, the likes of Mark Bradley, Oisin McCann, Tiernan McCann, Conan McCann. They've been very good. The Rafferty's there as well. Some great, fine performances. They also have their goalkeeper, Grimes, back again too. He was away for a long time. And then you have Danny Gorman there and Gavin Sludden in the back line. Very, very good. Dermore boosted by the return, of course, of Emmett McNabb and Ryan McCusker. Both had injuries in the early part of the year. The league wasn't obviously that be-all and end-all for them. But now they're back in the squad. So it could be an interesting one there as well. But certainly the big X is on Dermore's back tomorrow night. And Killy Clougher, they've a free hit, really. You know, if they won it, they're going to be very much the favourites. They are, perhaps, to me, even a sneaky favourite at this stage for the championship. I've seen them a few times. Very impressed with them.
The other game on Friday night is Greencastle against Donoughmore. Two matches on Saturday. Moy are playing Errigal Kieran, but before that, Arbow against Oman. I suppose the O'Donovan Rossa and St Enda sides are both looking to get back on track come the championship, Paddy.
Absolutely. Arbow crashed out at the first series last year, beaten by 2 points by Dromore. Of course, who went on to win the championship. And Oman, well, they were beaten by Carrickmore. So they're keen to try and get back on track again. Both sides, well, from Oma's point of view, they got off to a flying start at the start of the league. They won 5 games in the bounce. They were top of the table. Kevin Brady's part of the management team there. He told me then, just about 2 or 3 weeks into the competition, that this is going to prove difficult for Oma because of the stress put on players. And immediately, almost, Conor O'Donnell picked up a bad knee injury. Micheál Gallagher's got a hamstring injury. One or two other lads, Cian Bradley, for example, have picked up injuries. They're struggling a wee bit that way. In the league encounter, Arbow pipped Oma at the post at O'Neill Sealy Park. Mickey Donnelly's the man in charge. He needs no introduction to anybody in Gaelic football in the Northwest. We know what he's done with the Derry underage sides. Quality manager. And, you know, his side hadn't a great league campaign. The one at Oma put them back on track again. And since that, they've pushed up the table and got away from the relegation zone. That'll be an interesting one for sure. But both sides will want to progress, and it could make for a very interesting one and an exciting game between two sides with plenty of history, of course, as well. And earlier on this year, the Oma Ladies beat Arbow in the first round of the Ladies Championship. So it's a wee bit of edge in that one already.
Yeah, certainly is. The game's on Sunday then, Moortown against Clonowen, Loch McCrory against Derry Loughlin. But we mentioned at the start, Paddy, it's a good way to start the championship with Trullick and Dungannon. It's a cracking way to finish the opening round with Carrickmore against Coal Island on Monday evening.
Oh, Oisin, last year up at Galbally, in torrential rain, I recall, Carrickmore just came up short by a single point against Coal Island. Brian Toner drove Coal Island on that day, and it could be a real classic again. Both sides have such great championship tradition. Carrickmore, well, we all know the success they've enjoyed over the years. It's a, you know, and the quality they've brought to the table in the last few years has been exceptional. But this is going to be a big, big test for this Carrickmore side. A lot of young players there. Ryan Daly's the man in charge. There will be the odd feeling, perhaps, that Ryan's not the man for the job. He's a point to prove, of course, after the disappointment last year. Colleen and Fianna, well, as I said, they have so much quality about them, the likes of Michael McKiernan and players like that, Porrick Hampsey from the county side as well. It could be a very, very intriguing tie. The winners of that will also fancy their chances of progression, of course, through the quarterfinals as well. So, you know, a toss of a coin really between those two. And as for, as you mentioned earlier on, the likes of Derry Laughan propped up the table, their last chance to survive in Division 1, they're going to do everything they can to progress to the championship as well. Loughmore Crory, fine young side. And then, but, you know, when you look at the championship semi-finals last year, Colleen beat Derry Kilcairn, and Dromore beat Trillick. You know, you couldn't really, you could throw a blanket over maybe 7 or 8 Tyrone clubs at the minute at the in that top half of the table who will have a chance. And the rest of them all feel they will have a chance as well, or they could have a chance. That's what makes this Tyrone Championship so special. Massive weekend, ladies' finals Saturday and Sunday, as well as the Senior Football Championship, the LCC Group Senior Football Championship. It's hard to beat it, Oisin.
Yeah. Who's playing in your ladies' finals, Paddy?
The ladies' finals will be St McCartan's, you know, aiming for 13 titles. They take on Spurnoge. In the intermediate, it is Moortown against Kappa. Moortown are back-to-back champions already, Junior B, Junior, and they were only formed 4 years ago, and they got to the Ulster Ladies' Final last year, so they were beaten in that. But they're through to the final this year, aiming to go 3 in a row, really. And obviously then in the junior, it's Loughmore Crory against Plano. Both sides met in the league final a while back. Plano came out on top on that one. In their league meeting, it was Loughmore Crory claimed the victory. So this really is the decider on Saturday evening at Omagh.
All right, Paddy, thanks for joining us. Enjoy the football the weekend.
Thank you very much, Oisin.
That's Paddy Hunter. Okay, on to mixed martial arts. And Dara Kelly returns to the stage as he takes on Kyle Stevens tomorrow evening, Friday, as part of the Bellator 285 event at the Three Arena in Dublin. The Inishowen native is no stranger to the Three Arena. He recorded a first round win over Junior Morgan in his pro MMA debut in February of this year in Dublin. Dara's opponent, Kyle Stevens, has a 3-1 record after earning a third career win in April in Portsmouth in the Shock and Awe event against a fighter called Lucas Small. Kelly, of course, is preparing well. He shares a gym with fellow Irishman and MMA superstar Conor McGregor. Kelly is in confident mood ahead of the fight tomorrow.
I think he's going to be a tough test. Very aggressive striker, likes to come forward. The deciding factor, I think he's going to break long before I will. I think he's going to bite down. He's going to give me a good fight, but I don't see him lasting the full 15 minutes at the pace I'm going to put on him.
He sounds up for it, doesn't he? That's Dara Kelly. He's expected into the cage tomorrow at 7 o'clock, and the fight will be streamed on the Bellator MMA YouTube channel. Focusing in on soccer now, and this week at junior level, we're going to concentrate on the Donegal Junior League. There's a lot happening, so there is. The Premier Division, Division 1 and Division 1 campaigns all got up and running last week. There's FAI Cup matches this coming weekend involving sides from Donegal and indeed from Inishowen as well. And we're down to the last round of games in the Voodoo Venue Cup. We're going to make the semi-final draw live here on Highland this evening. I've been speaking with the PRO of the Donegal Junior League, Gary Foy. Well, I suppose, Gary, you have been up and running now for several weeks, and it's a case of being busy over the last number of opening weekends, particularly with the League Cup fixtures.
We've had the Brian McCormick Cup and the Voodoo Venue Cup running there now this past number of weeks, and we're at a certain stage of them now whereby we're ready for to see who will win the different different areas and the different groups, you know, and we'll be teams looking forward to semi-finals and those for the start of the new year in 2023. But there's a lot of sort out to be done before we get to that stage with them watching. So the teams have been using them in a certain extent as warm-ups for the league season, but they've been very competitive this year, you know, and it's great to see.
Yeah. Before we look at the fixtures this weekend, we're going to concentrate on the Voodoo Venue Cup first of all, because there's a full program of games in Area 1 through to Area 4 taking place this weekend. And we're going to have the semi-final, well, part of the semi-final draw coming up in just a few moments' time. Gary, when we do that draw, we'll know what areas we'll be playing against each other come the last four at the start of at the start of next year. But maybe you'll give us a rundown on how things are panning out up to this stage with the final round of games in the areas to come this weekend.
That's correct, Archie. Well, as your listeners will probably be very well aware, that we have four areas in the Voodoo Venue Cup. Area 1, Kilmacrenan, are 4 points ahead in that one with one game left to play. So they're going to be the team winning that area, and they'll have a semi-final to look after, or sorry, to look forward to. In Area 2, Donegal Town are finished. They're 3 points ahead of Fintown Harps, who are away to Kopenay this weekend. So this could result actually in a playoff. And if there is a playoff required there, that playoff will be sometime before Christmas, you know. So it could result in a playoff between Donegal Town and Fintown Harps, but at the minute it's advantage Donegal Town, but with nothing at all, nothing finally sorted. Area 3, you've got Dunluce, Celtic and Strand sitting currently joint top. They're both playing this weekend. But lurking in the background there, you've got Aranmore United, who have a game in hand over both those teams. They're only 2 points behind, so mathematically they can still top that group. So there's a lot to play for there in Area 3. And in Area 4, Kildon Tigers, they're 3 points clear of Old Town. And they're both playing their final game this weekend. So that's not decided yet either. So there's plenty to play for in the areas in the Voodoo Venue Cup at the minute. Any playoffs required will be played before Christmas. And then the Voodoo Venue Cup semi-finals proper, they will be played early in 2023.
So, Gary, you've given us a rundown there of how it looks going into the final game, the final run of games this weekend, before we can find out who's going to top the groups. But at this stage of the programme, Gary, what we'll do now is we'll do the draw for the semi-finals in such a way that we'll know what area is going to play what area winners come the start of that period at the turn of next year when we'll have the semi-finals. So, Gary, you might give the listener maybe an idea of what the format of the semi-final draw is going to be and what's involved.
So what we've done here is we've allocated each area a random letter from A, B, C, and D. So they're obviously not in the same order, 1, 2, 3, and 4. We've messed them up. What we'll ask you to do maybe for us is if you can draw the letters A, B, C, and D, obviously we'll then tell you what area that each letter relates to, and we'll know then, as you quite rightly said, which area will play which area in the semi-final of the Voodoo Venue Cup.
Okay then, so I'm going to draw the numbers here. I don't know the letters here, sorry. I don't know what area is connected to these letters. So I'll give them to you, Gary, and then you can let us know, okay? So then...
It'll be news to you, the same as it'll be news to your listeners.
Yeah, there you go. All right then. First letter out, Gary, is D.
So D is Area 2.
So D is Area 2. And the next letter is B.
B is Area 1.
And to keep it right, the letter is C.
C is Area 4.
And the last is, obviously, letter A.
Which is Area 3.
So those semi-finals in the Voodoo Venue Cup, as drawn here on Highland, will be Area 2 versus Area 1. And the winners of Area 4 versus Area 3. And we will, of course, have the last round of games to be played in the Voodoo Venue Cup this weekend. And after this weekend, we'll have a better picture as who those winners will be and if playoffs is required. So then, Gary, that's your draw done now for the Voodoo Venue Cup. You might maybe just give us a quick summary of how things are working out in the Brian McCormick Sports Cup at the minute. I know we're in league action, so we are, but there was a lot of football played at the start of the year in the Sports Cup, Gary, and you might maybe...
Absolutely. Yeah, so the Brian McCormick Cup, the format this year was that there was the normal four areas, and what we did at the delegate meeting was we decided we would go with two groups in each area, that's all been played out now, and we will be looking at area shield finals
again at the start of 2023, early in 2023, as soon as Christina, our fixture secretary, knows the dates for tournaments such as the FAI Junior Cup and the Ulster Junior Cup and the Ulster Junior Shield, etc., she will then put in the dates for these areas, areas shield finals. So in the Letterkenny area, we have Rathmullen or Fannin United against Letterkenny Rovers. That's your Letterkenny area shield final. Obviously, there's going to have to be a playoff there between Rathmullen and Fannin. And just as in the Voodoo Venue Cup, that too will be played before Christmas 2022. And as I said, a lot of them dates will be governed by when Christina gets free weekends, free Saturdays, free Sundays, when she gets the fixtures for those other aforementioned main cup competitions. The Lufford area, then, the final there will be played between Lagan Harps and Kildrum Tigers. The Donegal Town area, the final will be played between Capri Rovers and St. Catharines. And we have another playoff in the Gidore area. There's going to be a playoff needed there between Kilmacrenn and Celtic and Kildare Rovers to determine who will play Glenae United in that area final. So, as a city, actually, those playoffs will be pre-Christmas at neutral venues. And the area shield finals will be early in the new year as soon as Christina can get dates confirmed.
Okay, then. Let's move on then to the league. There's a limited programme of matches this weekend, obviously because of FAI Junior Cup ties taking place this weekend. But it all started up last week on the league front, so it did, Gary.
It did, surely. Well, as you quite rightly said earlier, the league, the Saturday league doesn't start for another weekend because this weekend we have the final round of games in the Voodoo Venue Cup. But last Sunday, we saw the start of the Sunday league in all three divisions. Defending champions Kilmacrenn and Celtic, they were held a 3-0 draw over at Parkview in Castlefin in a what was a very exciting match from all accounts. Newly promoted Division 1 champions Fannin United, they had a draw as well to start off with and they, against Kildrum Tigers. That was 2-2 in another good match. And maybe it's an early advantage to Bunnegee United because last year's runners-up actually beat St. Catharines at Dye Arch Park 2-1 in what was reported to me as being a very, very entertaining match, and maybe a fair result might have been a draw, but at the end of the day, Bunnegee done enough in the first half to claim all 3 points from that one. So that was the main Sunday action in the Premier Division last Sunday in the first weekend, Oisín.
Yeah, it certainly was an interesting weekend, Gary, and that was the top flight. Obviously, there's a programme of games this weekend. You might just run through the fixtures there.
As we said earlier there, mate, the fixtures for this week are somewhat limited due to the participation of a number of them teams, particularly Premier Division teams in the Cup. But the only Premier Division fixture we have this weekend is St. Catharines against Glenae United. We do have 4 all Donegal League fixtures in the FAI Junior Cup, which maybe we'll take a wee quick note of. They are Fannin United against Letterkenny Rovers, Capri Rovers against Swally Rovers, Castleton Celtic host Bunnegee United, and Rathmullen Celtic might take the trip to Central Park down to play Kildare Rovers. So there'll be a bit of competitiveness there, and obviously we're guaranteed a number of teams, at least 4 teams that are going through to the next round, and that's aside from the teams which we have an action against in his own league opposition as well, Oisín.
Yeah, that's Gidore Celtic are taking on Buncrana Hearts and Milford United playing Carndonagh FC. There is 2 all in his own games as well, Ellis Celtic against Alia and Kildaff against Greencastle. There's other league matches this weekend as well, Gary, one in Division 1, and there's the handful of matches been played in Division 2.
Yeah, well, we have in Division 1, we have Raphoe Town hosting Convoy Arsenal. And in Division 2, we have the full programme of 5 matches. Duncan Ely Celtic will host Cora Athletic. Gidore United will host Dromahal FC. Lagan Harps will host Cranford FC. Balbuffet United will make the trip to Lifford Celtic. And Dean Harps will go to McGarvey Park to play White Strand United. Looking at the first round of matches last week, in Division 1, you'd have to say Swally Rovers made a very impressive start with a 6-0 away one against Convoy Arsenal. And Letterkenny Rovers, I mean, they were promoted from as Division 2 champions last year. They've had a great start. They won 3-2 against Gidore Celtic. And Gidore, whether it's United or Celtic you're playing, is never an easy place to go and take points out of. But, you know, the Letterkenny Rovers managed that last week and a 3-2 in another entertaining match. Also, last year's Division 2 runners-up, who were promoted, Letterborough Celtic. They had a very good 3-0 win down at Rabs Park against Kerry Keane's 71 club. In Division 2, I suppose the best starts were obviously from Balfour United and Cranford. They both had 6 without reply against White Strand United and Lifford Celtic respectively. Lagan won 2-1 away to the Curragh, and Gidore United also had a good one on the road on the first day. They had 5 with to Deal's 3, so they won 5-3 against Deal. And Dromahal, they beat Duncan Ely 2-1 at the Moss. So it was good action. Actually, there was only 3. There were no draws at all last week in Divisions 1 and 2. It was all matches won by some one side or the other. So
yeah.
It's... There was no boring fixtures. No. I wouldn't think, Archie.
A good entertaining start. Listen, it's busy at the minute, Gary.
Absolutely. We've had some mixed emotions to the start of this season. We obviously lost our great administrator, Martin Duffy from Dean Harps, who we all miss a lot. And but the football that has been produced in the meantime has been fit enough of a man such as Martin Duffy, who loved the game so much. And he'd be looking down. And I know we've spoken with Martin, you know, at the time, and obviously it wasn't easy for us or his family or anybody else to know Martin, but he'll be happy now that we're up and running again as much as anybody, and we'll be looking forward to plenty of more good games in the weeks and months ahead, Ashin, for this new season, you know.
Yes, we will. Okay, good man, Gary. Thanks for joining us tonight on The Score.
You're very welcome.
And as always, keep the good hard work up.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your coverage, as always, Ashin.
That's Gary Foy with a good wrap on the Donegal Junior League and all the happenings with the league at the moment. There's also games as well in Inishowen in the Premier Division this weekend. Glengad United are on the road to Clonmany Shamrocks, and Mavill Celtic are taking on Coghill Celtic Youth. There's also games in the First and Division 2 as well. League of Ireland Premier Division action for the North West sides. Well, there's only one team playing this weekend. It's Finn Harps, the bottom of the table, of course, in the Premier Division. And they are looking to move ahead of UCD. If they're to do that, they're going to have to take a big one at Finn Park on Saturday. Bohemians is the opposition. 4 o'clock is the kickoff time. Full match commentary here. We'll have Dermot Doherty and Keith Cowan watching that one on Saturday. And at the same time, there's a 4 o'clock start to the Ulster Senior League Cup encounter between Coghill Celtic and Bunnegee United, the two big teams in the USL clashing in the Cup. Bunnegee go under the tie off the back of beating Finn Harps under-21s 3-1 on Wednesday night. 4 o'clock's the start time. The Charlie O'Donnell grounds down in Coghill is the venue there for that one. Just on the rugby front, action continues for the North West sides in Ulster. In the Premiership 2, OMA still on the hunt for their first one. They're playing host to Belfast Harlequins on Saturday. City of Derry are chasing a second one in Championship 1. They're also at home against Ballyclare. And the only unbeaten North West side in Ulster Rugby at the moment is Strabane. And in Championship 3, they're taking their 3-0 record to Cavan. Finally, in athletics, it's going to be a busy weekend on Saturday. There's the Champions Cup Cross Country for Underage, which has been hosted by Finn Valley AC in Stranorra. The action starts there at 11:30 on Saturday morning. And there's a 10 a.m. start for the Glenmore 10 Mile, which is also taking place this weekend. All the details are available on the Finn Valley AC Facebook page. And that's it from the Score programme for tonight. If you missed any of the show, you can, of course, recap in the sports section of HighlandRadio.com. What's left of your Thursday, enjoy.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.